Teach Me to Code, episode 38. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Teach Me to Code podcast. This is your host, Charles Max Wood, and this week I'm going to talk to you about integration tests and unit tests and, you know, kind of where they fit into a testing strategy. But before I get started, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by New Relic. New Relic is one of the best application management tools out there. It identifies trouble spots by capturing response times, breaking down your requests, and telling you where slowdowns occur. It also tracks errors and exceptions, and I actually use it for my applications. You can check out New Relic RPM by going to www.newrelic.com and let them know that we sent you over there. This podcast is also sponsored by Chargeify. Now, Chargeify is a tool that helps manage charges and subscriptions. They've got a great, easy-to-use API. And so if you're making charges through your application and you're using some kind of merchant gateway, Chargeify is a great way to make that all happen. You can go check them out at Chargeify.com. And finally, the last sponsor is me. I've gone freelance, and I'm looking for work. So if you have a Ruby or Rails application, you can give me a call. My phone number is 801-367-6164. I'm also available for training, coaching, code reviews, and all that kind of stuff. And I really like helping people out, so you know, feel free to give me a call or email me. I also just put up a survey. You can get to the survey by going to teachmetocode.com/survey. And if you go take the survey, I'm giving away 5 brand new books from the Pragmatic Bookshelf, from Pragmatic Programmers, and 5 videos from peepcode.com. So there will be 10 winners, and I really appreciate the feedback there. You know, there are 4 questions. One of them is a yes-no, so, I mean, how hard can it be, right? Finally, I'm going to RubyConf, but I could use your help. If you head over to pledgy.com/campaign/13439, I would really appreciate it if you just gave me, you know, $5-$10. That'll help me cover my airfare so that I can get out there. Rubyhead.com actually covered the hotel, and I paid for the ticket. Yeah, and so, you know, and anything else helps. You can also leave feedback for the show, and I'd really appreciate it if you would go to iTunes and leave us a review, or you can call 801-753-8279. You can also email me, chuck@teachmetocode.com, and you can follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/CMAXW or CMAXW. And, you know, I just really appreciate that. In fact, I got some feedback from somebody telling me that I ought to turn down the volume a little bit on the music so I didn't sound like I was trying to talk over it. And I've done that, and I feel like, I wasn't trying to really be as loud or push over the top of the music, so I think I found an optimal setting for the sound, but give me some feedback and let me know what you think. Finally, the episodes for this show and the show notes are at teachmetocode.com/podcast, and, you know, again, I really, really appreciate your feedback. Now, the reason that this topic came up is that I was working on a project for a client, and all of the tests for this project are written in Qcumber. And Qcumber is a framework that allows you to define features and scenarios, and you know, you basically define them in English, and then you use regular expressions to build out your test cases, and then you can run your test cases. And the reason that I was thinking about this, and there are a few other things that went into this. In fact, I'll just give you a brief summary of what they are, and then I'll go into the actual things that I want to discuss here. They did some kind of coding workshops at the Ruby Web Conf that was up in Snowbird. And in the workshops, they actually used Qcumber, but they also used RSpec. And they kind of used them in tandem, and I've had a few other people point things out, like a talk at Mountain West RubyConf where Ben Mabee, this was, I don't think it was last year, I think it was 2 years ago, where he kind of talked about a testing strategy. And, you know, all of these things have kind of come together for me, and I kind of realized, you know, really what the power is in these things. So I'm just going to kind of break them down for you. I know I've talked about testing before, but this will really kind of give you an idea of where I'm at with testing. And I also want to point out that I did the Cucumber, the BDD Cucumber Rails 3 videos. And, you know, I've kind of come to a few conclusions about things that I've done in there that I don't necessarily agree with, you know. And so, you know, one of the things that I did in there is I just did straight up Cucumber. I didn't write any unit tests in RSpec. And the interesting thing is that I've really come to the conclusion that you need both unit tests and integration tests. And I feel like the Cucumber tests really make great integration tests, but they kind of make terrible unit tests. And what I mean by that really is that Cucumber is a tool that is designed, it's designed to describe features. And then, you know, when you run the code, ultimately you're doing an integration test. In other words, what you're doing is you're basically saying, so when I go to this page, and that can actually be a step, you know, when I go to, and then, you know, it uses the regular expression to match a path in the path matchers. But anyway, so when I go to this page, and then you just let it run. So you basically tell it, I'm making a post request to this URL with these parameters. And then it's smart enough to figure that out. And what it does is it actually goes through the whole thing, through the dispatcher, through the routes, to the controller calls the model gives the controller back the information it needs, and then it renders the view. Now, you can put mocks and stubs in there, but it's kind of pointless, and it's not really designed to make that very user-friendly. So, for me, I mean, it makes more sense just to do a straight-up integration test. So, it basically runs through your entire stack. Now, if you're running through your entire stack, the problem with that is, if that's all you're doing, is that if you break anything anywhere in the stack, then your tests are going to fail. And the tricky thing is you know, what you'll do is you'll, wow, I don't know if you could hear that, but I think the heating system in my house just turned off for a second. Anyway, so the problem is that if that's all you're running, then if you have a problem anywhere in that stack, then you're going to get an error on the same step no matter what. And, you know, if you have unit tests in place, then you can figure out, okay, the problem was in the model, or the problem was in the controller, or the problem was in the view. And you know, this is generally true for any application that you're writing tests for. If you want to know where the problem is, your best bet is to have unit tests. The other problem that I have with running your integration tests is your sole testing suite is that the integration tests typically take a little longer to run, and you want quick feedback from your test suite that you're running all the time. And so, again, unit tests are a real good place to do that. And then you can set up something like continuous integration or something in order to run your integration tests. And the really cool thing is then you get a picture of all of the APIs that I've defined work well together. So the API that the controller, in the case of Rails, calls to get data from the model, you know, it still works. And so, you know, your unit tests can kind of miss that. And that's kind of where the integration tests complement the unit tests, is that the unit tests basically say, I expect, you know, these parameters, and I expect the system to be in this kind of state, or, you know, whatever object it's going to be operating on, or that kind of thing. You know, so you set all that up with mock objects, and you know, you can stub out methods and things like that. And ultimately what that does for you is then, you know, you basically say, I expect this API, and I expect it to behave in this certain way. But if you're mocking out a method that doesn't exist, or if you're stubbing out a method that doesn't exist, then you can run into the problem where, you know, your whatever is calling that method expects it to be there, and it's not there. But since you've stubbed it out, it's going to respond however you told it to expect to respond. So in that case, your unit tests will miss the integration problems that you have. And the integration problems will miss telling you exactly where your problem is. So you really do need both. Ben's talk actually showed it as kind of like sprockets on a bike. And basically what it is so you start on the outer sprocket, your BDD level, so to speak, your cucumber level. So you say, I need this feature. And when I do a specific thing with my application, I expect it to respond in a certain way. And I expect it to respond in a way that I can visually verify. So in the case of a website, what you're saying is, you know, when I edit a user and I click save, I expect to see a message that says, it saved properly. Now, then what you want to do is you go down to your unit test level. And so basically whatever is picking up that response or that request and running with it, in the case of Ruby on Rails, that's your controller. What you're doing there is you're saying, okay, controller, you're expecting to get these parameters. And I expect you to run these methods, and I expect you to give these responses, and based on those responses, I expect you to send back this kind of data, or render this template, or do these certain things. And you do the same thing with your models. So you turn around and you say, let's say you have a user model. And this is something that I ran into today, is that if you tried to save a user model, and the user didn't have a password, then the admins actually couldn't change the user, which was a problem because sometimes they needed to change something on the user. And so basically what I had to do is, you know, I had to write a unit test, and the unit test basically said, if you're an admin changing the user, then don't verify the password. Or if they have a password, then verify the password, you know, verify that it's there. I mean, that's all you can do because it's encrypted. But the flip side is then I know that it behaves that way in those certain circumstances. And yet when the user tries to activate or save their own user without specifying a password, then it turns around and says, hey, you got to put in a password. And so your unit tests can check those levels of granularity. And, you know, your behavioral tests or your integration tests, the kind of things that I'm doing with Cucumber, basically, you know, you can test it there too, but what you're looking for there is when I click activate, if they don't have a password, then it tells me I couldn't activate and here are the errors. Does that make sense? As opposed to saying when they don't have a password and I click activate, then it should not save and it should, you know, do all these things. You know, your behavioral tests are much more black box. And so, you know, this is checking behavior, but what I'm really driving at is that when you develop your behavior in your application, you know, when you get in and you say, I need this new feature. So, you know, let's just say it's a login feature, for example. So what you do is you, in Cucumber, and this is totally Cucumber, but Cucumber is defined in English, so you know you should be able to extrapolate this into whatever you're running. So basically your integration says, given that I have a user, and you know, when I enter the user's username and I enter the user's password and I click login, then I should be on the user dashboard. And I should see you have logged in successfully, and I should say should see welcome user's name. Okay, and so you kind of see the scenario there, and all of this is visible on that page. You know, so when Cucumber goes in and they exercise your application, then what happens is you know what it's supposed to do. Anyway, when you run this, what's going to happen is, you know, if you haven't defined those particular steps, you just define the step. And so your first step is, you know, given I have a user. Now, let's say you don't actually have your user object or user model in the case of Rails defined. So then what you do is you go ahead and you generate that user. And then what you do is, you know, then it can generate you a user, you know, and, you can use factories, which is a concept of basically creating a new user object, or you can just call the constructor itself. Now, factories, all they are they call the constructor, but they have a predefined set of parameters that they pass. And they're really much more convenient than, say, fixtures or some other means of creating test data. Anyway, so you create a new user object, legitimately. So you create it, you save it to your database, or, you know, however you create users. And then your next step is, when I go to the login page, so then you define that, and you just define the path in Cucumber. You don't actually have to find that step because it's built in. But, you know, if you're using something else, then you basically define the step that's, I go to the login page. And then, you know, it's going to fail because you haven't created the login page. So you go ahead and you create the login page, you know, with fields for the username. In fact, you don't even have to do that, just create the page. So then it loads this blank page, right? Well, your next step is, and I enter the user's username into the username field. And then it's going to say, hey, wait a minute, there's no username field. So you create that. Then you go to the next step. This is very TDD, but in this case, what you're doing is you are creating the setup for this, you know, for these steps. Now, of course, when you create the controller action for the login page, you know, you're going to write a test for that. Now, the test is probably going to be something as simple as it loads the login page template. I mean, that may be it, right? You know, and then the template test will actually say it has a user field, it has a password field, it has a submit button that's called login. You know, and you do this on all these steps so that when you run through the Cucumber test, the integration test, then it all passes down to that point. So when you click submit, this is where it gets interesting. So basically, when you click submit, then it's going to go to maybe some other action, you know, or some other handler if you're not in Rails, you know, but it goes to some other handler. So what you do then is you define your tests for that other handler, not in Cucumber, but in your regular test suite. So if that's NUnit or JUnit or TestUnit in Ruby, or, you know, RSpec or whatever, you know, that's what you do. So you define that, and then what you do is it's going to say, I expect to see, you know, when you hit submit, that you're on the user's dashboard. So what you do is you turn around and you say, okay, well, if I hit this action, then I just need it to send back to the user's dashboard. And so then it you know, it takes it back to the dashboard, that step passes. And you do the same, you test that same thing, you test that it has a redirect to the dashboard URL in your unit test. So then what happens is it says welcome username. So this is a little more interesting, because then what you have to do is you actually have to, in your handler or in your controller action, in the case of Rails, you have to tell it, okay, authenticate the user. So what I typically do is I just put in there user class dot authenticate, and then I pass in the username and the password. Well, that hasn't been defined yet, but I've already mocked it out in my controller action, or in that login handler. And the reason that I've done that is because the login handler's job is not to test the authentication for the user. Its job is to take the response from the authentication of the user and apply it properly. In other words, you know, set up, you know, whatever information needs to be sent back to the template or view. And in the case of the controller, it's actually an instance variable, you know, prefaced by an at sign. And basically, the idea is, you know, it says, okay, so I call user authenticate, and in my controller test, I just mock that out so it returns a user object or something that acts like a user object, and sets up the current user and, you know, all the stuff that it needs to do, and then it redirects. So now my controller test is passing, but my user authenticate method isn't defined. So then I go to my user, my test for my user model or user object, and I do the same thing. I define a test for the authenticate method. And then from there, I say, okay, if I'm given a username and a password, and they match a user and password that I have in the system, then I want to return that user. So then effectively what I've done is, you know, the test tests that the user authenticate method does what it's supposed to do. The controller action that handles that and basically creates the user authentication information that goes back to the view or template is handled properly, and so I know that that all works. And then I go back to my integration test and I run the whole thing again and make sure it passes. And then you're probably thinking, well, what if it doesn't authenticate? Well, I start the next process. I write another scenario for my integration test that says, you know, given I have this user, if I enter the proper username and I enter a bad password, then I should see, you know, username or password is incorrect or something like that. And so you can kind of see that, you know, you just create those scenarios within your integration tests. And then from there, what you can do is you can actually just, you know, you move back in and you already have the handler defined. So all you have to do there is just add the clause that says, if I don't get a user back, then display this error message. You know, and then what happens is then obviously you have to go into the user authenticate and make that happen. But the nice thing is if you're working on a scenario, then you can run the scenario and then you can run the test. And then later on, when you're working on something, if somebody else gets in and messes with user authenticate and they write the proper unit test for it, so it's all working, it all seems to work, the controller test passes because it's got it mocked out, so it doesn't even worry about what it's doing, it just assumes that it's going to get back the right information. But then you run your integration tests every night, and that night everyone's going to get an email saying, hey, wait a minute, this scenario doesn't work right anymore. And so you go back in and you say, okay, well, the unit tests on the controller and on the model, or on the handler and on the object, if you're not working in Rails, they seem to be working, and you can look and see, oh wait, these changed yesterday. So something in here is incorrect. And so then what you can do is you can go in and you can figure out what's not working right. And then you can, you know, fix things up so that they work. Because, you know, ultimately, if the controller works and the model works, but the interaction's broken, your app is broken. And so that's kind of where, you know, where you really save yourself some trouble. But, you know, most people can't run the integration tests, you know, after every check-in. You know, you should be able to do that with your unit tests. They should be fast enough to where you can run them in a minute or so. But, you know, the integration tests usually take quite a bit longer because they are actually waiting for a server response every time. They're waiting for the database every time. And some of those interactions can be really, really slow. And so where your total test time with everything mocked out may only be a couple of minutes, you may only be able to get through a few requests on your integration tests in a couple of minutes. And so if your integration suite takes an hour to run, you should be running it regularly, but you know, it's not reasonable to expect everybody to run that every time they make a change. So that's why you want to put that up on a continuous integration setup and make sure that everybody's aware that, hey, last night somebody broke the build. You know, and the other ones, you know, you get much more rapid feedback, which is where they're valuable. So I highly recommend that you take that approach, that you do both. I'll go ahead and put links in the show notes for Ben's talk. I don't think they recorded the sessions from Ruby WebConf. They might have. I don't think so. If they did, they're not up yet. Confreaks is still working on that. And, again, you just make sure that you're doing them both. If you have any questions about how to set up continuous integration, I've done it with Hudson and with cruisecontrol.rb. I'm not as familiar with cruisecontrol.net or some of the other ones out there, but I'd be happy to help you figure them out. You can just give me a call, 801-367-6164. That's my cell, so you can just reach me anytime. Or if you need help getting started and you're using something like Cucumber, Test Unit, or RSpec, you know, I'm really good with those. If you're doing something in another language, I can probably offer you general guidance, but you know, I don't know the tools and I don't know how much help I'll be that way, but I'm really willing to figure it out. So, you know, that being said, I just, you know, again, I just like to, you know, offer my help and, you know, recommend that you do both, that you really give them a good run. And that way you'll know that everything is working in order. And, you know, you can turn out the best software possible for both your clients and your boss and yourself. And that's pretty much all I have. So I'm just going to go ahead and wrap up here. First off, I'd like to thank our sponsors. We have New Relic and Chargeify, you know, newrelic.com and chargeify.com. So thanks again, guys, for sponsoring the podcast. Also, if you need some help with your Ruby or Rails application, you can give me a call at 367-6164. And don't forget to go take the survey. You can do that at teachmetocode.com/survey. And last time Pragmatic Programmers gave away books on the podcast, they gave away both the electronic and paper versions. So basically what happened was I emailed the winners. They sent me their physical addresses, and they got an email within the day that said, hey, here's where you get your book, and we're shipping you the paper version. And then Jeffrey has been really generous and has given up 5 videos from peepcode.com. So, you know, if you're interested in learning Rails or Ruby or Git or iPhone, they've got all kinds of stuff. So go and pick those up. Go check them out and see what you like if you win. I've only had 27 people take the the survey so far. So if you're one of those folks and no one else takes it, you got a 1 in 3 chance of winning. So, you know, I figure if I get 40 or 50 people to take it, that'll be great. I've decided I'm going to run the survey through the end of RubyConf. So, you know, go take it within the next 3 weeks. And, you know, that'll just be great. And then you'll have a good chance of winning. Speaking of RubyConf, I still need about $70 or $80 to cover my airfare. So if you want to go help me out there, go to http://pledgy.com/campaigns/13439. And finally, you can leave feedback for the podcast by calling into the comment line at 801-753-8279. You can email me, chuck@teachmetocode.com. Or you can go to twitter.com/cmaxw and you can find out what's going on with Teach Me to Code. You can also, you know, send me a message or, you know, an at reply and let me know what you think there. The show notes will be up at teachmetocode.com/podcast. And, you know, again, I just really appreciate all the feedback, especially from people who are trying to make the show better by recommending things like the music volume or anything else like that. So, you know, I really, really appreciate it. I've also had a few people email me asking for help. I've sent them replies, and I'm actually trying to blog most of the solutions there. So anyway, this is Teach Me to Code. Writing the code is the easy part.